and welcome to another episode of the Africa Biotech Conversations. I'm your host, Adrian Lusa, and today I'm joined by Jean Lorenz and Leah Bessa, two co-founders of De Novo Dairy, which is a biotech startup based in Cape Town, South Africa. Thank you so much, Jean. Thank you, Leah, for making time to join me today and for sharing, being willing to share your story with the rest of the world. Jean has a background in supply chain from Stellenbosch University, and he's experienced in global trade. In 2018, Jean co-founded an innovative agri-tech startup called Gourmet Grub, which focused on creating functional, sustainable proteins from sustainably farmed insects. And in 2021, he co-founded De Novo Dairy, and he's the guy conducting the business side of the company. He's driven by his vision of using these tiny little organisms to make a big, huge impact on the food system. Leah has a PhD in food science, also from Stellenbosch University, my alma mater, if I should say, researching insects as an alternative to meat, and has gained industry experience in food product development. With Jean, Leah co-founded and led the research and development for innovative agri-tech Grub, so the startup they established in 2018. And in 2021, they then co-founded De Novo Dairy. They intend to use precision fermentation to produce 100% animal-free dairy proteins. She's currently working with the UN Climate Champions Regenerative Agriculture Team in the lead-up to COP26. Welcome, guys. Your background is impressive, and it speaks to what you guys are trying to achieve with De Novo Dairy. I'm curious, so what led to the creation of De Novo Dairy? What question were you asking yourselves that led you to create the company?
Awesome. Well, thanks for having us. Yeah, it was more of a collection of situations that led us here. But I think the bigger question was really trying to find a sustainable alternative to some of the bigger problems in agriculture, and our focus is dairy. The idea is not really to entirely replace dairy, but rather to find sustainable alternatives to alleviate a lot of the pressure on farming. So we worked with Gourmet Grub, and we looked at other dairy alternatives, and it sort of just evolved into De Novo Dairy. And the reason behind this is largely because consumers, as much as they are looking for alternatives, they really want something that they are used to and that they love. And the way to achieve that is by creating nature-identical proteins, which are the functional units of dairy products.
Yeah.
And so the way you do that is a really great way to do this through precision fermentation. So Jean and myself were exploring this, and then we met up with our now co-founders, Journey and Richard. They were also looking at it, and just, you know, their skill sets and our skill sets just made sense for it to just transform into a company.
That's perfect. So I must also mention that there are other two co-founders that are not joining us today in the podcast. That's Richard Graves and Johnny Simon. So hello to them wherever they are listening. So yeah, and I'm just curious, you went from Gourmet Grub. Was there any resistance to the insect derived proteins? Did you find that it was something that met resistance in the market?
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of excitement around the technology and the concept, but mm-hmm. I think ultimately there is a lot more resistance. And it's not to say that it won't change.
Yeah.
But we really want to look. So our aim is really to have a mass adoption, to have that impact. And that, yeah, that requires a mass adoption quite quickly.
Okay.
And so that's why we pivoted. Yeah.
Okay. Perfect. And I'm curious again, how do two young South Africans or Africans go from asking such a big question, right? How do we contribute to sustainably alleviating the pressure on farming, to actually acting and creating a company, or two companies in your case? How did you make that?
I think it's a interesting question, I think, and it's probably different for each one of us. It's probably quite a personal question.
Yeah.
But I think for each one of us, it's just, you know, there comes a turning point in your life where you're like, yes, I either care about animals, or yes, I'm a vegan, or I'm a vegetarian, or I care about the environment. And then you start thinking, cool, I've stopped eating, you know, the dairy based foods or the meats or something like that, and I've started eating more plants. Mm-hmm. But then you also get to a point like, what else can I do? What more can I contribute to, you know, the society that we live in, what to the country that we live in, and what bigger impact can you make outside of yourself to take what you believe in further? And I think that is essentially just where we decided, you know what, let's start a venture, let's start something where we can have an impact, not just on ourselves and not just where we live, but on a bigger scale. And I think it's just kind of stemmed out of from there.
Mm-hmm. And did your backgrounds, Leah, in your case, food science, did that have anything to do with then the direction? I mean, I'm sure there's a lot that you could have chosen to do, but then you decided to do something about actually, you know, precision fermentation and insect-derived dairy. That probably played a role.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, coming from a pretty academic background, you know, I was very interested in the whole innovation side and sort of on the cusp of new proteins.
Yeah.
And then Jean, being more commercial, was the one who convinced me to turn it into a company. Like, how do we make this have a big impact?
Yeah.
And then from there, we actually had the idea of doing de novo dairy a little bit earlier, sort of the technology. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there are certain aspects of the science that aren't in my field. So when mm-hmm. Joni and Richard, you know, sort of came into the space, yeah. and they also fulfill a lot of those aspects, I think it sort of was a bit of a no-brainer to dive headfirst.
Yeah, yeah. I just wanted to clarify a term that we've used, precision fermentation. Can you help us? What is precision fermentation?
Yeah, so precision fermentation is really just a very fancy way of explaining that we're using modified yeast to produce dairy protein. So typically yeah. yeast would produce things like alcohol or yeah. carbon dioxide in baking.
Yeah.
We just have really special yeast and we modify it and we basically program it to produce nature identical proteins.
Okay,
so
perfect.
Fermentation, that's very precise.
The next question that I have for you is, I think you've covered it, but if you had to summarize the purpose of de novo dairy as relates to Africa and even globally, what would you say that is?
So this is sort of two parts. I think from a product perspective, you know, Africa is an emerging market and there's going to be an increase in demand for protein.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really about creating a sustainable protein source where once we get to scale, we truly believe it can be cost competitive.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about creating those really nutritious proteins for the African market. And I think it's also important. So the second part of the question is, like, for us, we really want that technology to come from Africa.
Yes.
We want to be, yeah, we want Africa to be self-sufficient and and we can. I mean, we
yeah.
have,
yeah.
I think Africa is probably the most innovative continent there is. And it's just like, I want the technology and the production to come in-house and I want us to have an impact on the global food system like we have the capacity to
yeah,
do.
Yeah, yeah. And when we talk about capacity, I must say our youth, like you guys, myself, I think that is one of the biggest capital that we have as a continent. We have the youth that is now majority of the population. And that youth is growing and it's being empowered by education. I mean, there are other things that are also strengthening our capacity as an innovative powerhouse, a continent, but I think our youth are definitely able to make the difference that needs to shift Africa in the right direction. So I commend you guys for this, for taking it on. and I know that working in Africa, starting a company in Africa, I mean, people have tried it. People haven't made it. What are some of the challenges that you guys have encountered that are unique to working in an environment like Africa? And preferably ones that you've come around, just to give people perspective that it's not an impossible situation. So something that you've encountered and how did you get around it?
Yeah, I think starting a company as a whole is definitely a difficult thing to do, no matter where you are in the world.
Yeah.
Whether you're in America or in Africa or in Europe, it's definitely a challenge that I think really stretches you as a human. But yeah. I think in Africa, I mean, there are, of course, many challenges that we have here. One thing that we experienced a few years ago, but I think that is luckily changing very rapidly now, is access to capital. You can see very clearly that people are starting to pay attention to Africa. Mm-hmm. There is a lot more VC money and institutional money that's flowing into Africa. Something that even in 2018, when we were busy with Gourmet Grub, there was none of that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that is something that, although still a very small amount of money compared to the rest of the world,
mm-hmm.
but nonetheless, in terms of the percentage growth is immense. And I think that is going to continue growing. It's something mm-hmm. that is going to continue to improve, and more people are going to show interest, and that is going to be a real game changer for Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, like you said, education is something that is now becoming more and more important, which is amazing. I think one challenge, and this is something that we once again experienced a few years ago, is, you know, finding the right people for your company, people that are educated in the realm or the field that you require them to be in. That is something that is also, I think, somewhat of a challenge, because I think if you look at somewhere like America, there's such a broad spectrum of people that have studied so many things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think here it's still something that needs to grow and something that needs to improve significantly.
Yeah.
But once again, I think it is something that is happening. So although it is a problem that we've encountered, it is slowly but surely changing, which is very promising and I think very positive for the future of Africa.
You mentioned a few things, which is capital, so access to capital. Have you got, I'm sure you've had investors join your venture. I'm curious, how does one go from idea to getting investors interested? Can you quickly talk us through that process for anyone who's interested? Because you make a good point. In 2018, like you said, there wasn't access, there wasn't interest or inflow of that capital. And now it seems to be a great window of opportunity for anyone with an innovative idea to take it from that ideation process to actually starting a venture, a company, or if you may. So how does one quickly, a masterclass of a few seconds. How did you guys do it?
So, I mean, of course, you need to have a very clear vision of what it is you want to achieve. When you're speaking to an investor, they want to know that you know what you want and that you are clear on what the next 5 years or whatever, that's maybe a lot bit long,
mm-hmm.
of what you want for the company.
Mm-hmm.
You start with a pitch deck to put in the concept. What is the problem? What is your solution to this problem that you've identified?
Mm-hmm.
And then a few quick things, you know, how are you going to change that? What kind of market are you attacking? How big is the market? And that is essentially how you kind of introduce yourself
mm-hmm.
to an investor, is with a pitch deck. If you don't have someone, then you'll send it around to them. If they like you, if they like the pitch deck that you've created,
mm-hmm.
then they'll come in contact with you. And then as one of our investors said to us the other day, when we were at a meeting with him, the goal of your first meeting is to get to the second meeting.
Okay.
And the goal of the second meeting is to get to the third meeting. And you'll continue to do that until someone gives you money. But the goal is never to just get as money quickly as possible.
Yeah.
Just get to the next stage and keep on pushing them, make them believe in you as a person and the concept that you're trying to create. If they believe in you, they'll give you the money that you require.
Yeah. It sounds to me like a lot of networking is involved in this.
An immense part of networking.
And as a scientist, Leah, you can attest to me, maybe it's different for you, Jean, in your academic training, you learn communication and all of that. But as a scientist, we don't learn networking and communication and reaching out to people. So how do you guys develop these sort of skills that facilitate putting yourself out there, finding people who are interested and who have a buy-in to your concept and your idea and who even risk, I mean, they bear the risk of your company by putting in money or time or expertise? How do you guys build such a skill? Is there something that you do? Yeah.
No, you learn on the go. I think, especially as you say, scientists love to over-explain things. So
yeah,
basically Jean says, cut out 90% of what you're saying. Because no one, people want to know that you know the science, but they don't actually want to hear it.
Yeah.
They just want to know, basically, what is your technology, very briefly, but what is it actually going to achieve?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's, it's just a matter of really trying to understand that what people are wanting to know. And mm-hmm. it's just a matter of learning. I think that's the one cool thing about a startup, and also the one terrifying thing, is this is such a steep learning curve. You start with one skill as a scientist, and that's science, and you have to learn marketing, you have to learn business, you have to learn finance. My accounting was horrific. I'd never done accounting.
Yeah.
I didn't even know what the pluses and minuses meant on the thing. So yeah, you just learn really, really fast, mm-hmm. make mistakes and pick yourself up and keep going.
Okay. Well,
I think that's what's also really amazing about our team. So we're obviously a founding team of four people, which gives us a really, really great, you know, kind of base to work off. We all have very different skills. Richard is an engineer. Joni is very much, very much deep science. Leah is obviously more a little bit more on the further side, food development, R&D on that side.
Yeah.
I'm not a technical founder, but at least I have, you know, a little bit of the finance and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And then so as a whole, I think it complements each other very, very well. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think we've got a very good base that we're starting off of.
Yeah. So what I take from that is you need to be willing to learn. You need to be a fast learner. You need to be willing to fail and pick yourself up again and keep going. You need a diverse team of people with different expertise that complement one another. And I'd even want to ask if this is okay. Like, the diversity of the expertise does not need to come from your team. I'm sure there are people that you guys run ideas by, people who are more experienced, people who have done it before, that don't necessarily belong to your team, but it helps you to also refine and keep moving in the right direction. At least that's been my experience with starting this podcast. Would you say that is the case? Yeah. And I know you work at BioCity Labs. Does that help?
Yes, very much so. They're very helpful. We rent a lab from them. They always take care of us. We had a great event yesterday, being able to, you know, once again, network, meet other people.
Yeah.
We already got some very good contacts. And yeah, so, I mean, like you said, we reach out to our strategic advisors quite often.
Yeah.
Just, you know, just as a sounding board, speak to them, understand what they think, because they can bring an external view
mm-hmm.
and, you know, just a completely different view on any problem that we have.
Yeah.
And so that's helped us a lot as well. Yeah.
Fantastic. As a last question to this chat, in your opinion, what are some of the trends that are currently having the most impact on biotech in Africa, and how is that likely to play out over the next, let's say, 5 years? What have you noticed?
Sure. There's a couple of really, really prominent trends. I think the one that I've noticed the most, and it's probably because it's in my space, is climate change. And, you know, COVID is obviously a huge trend and it's created a lot of new companies. But mm-hmm. I think what's become evident with COVID is also just the impact on the climate.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just an immense amount of different companies popping up globally, but especially in Africa, that are related to climate. In the agricultural space, especially in the energy space, because mm-hmm. we have a lot of unreliable energy supply.
Yeah.
And we have an abundance of sun.
True.
In Cape Town, we have abundance of wind, hydrogen. So I think really climate change has changed the innovation space a lot, just in, I think, all the sectors, not just agriculture, which is what we focus on.
Yeah.
I'm very excited for what that means for the future.
Yeah.
I think we're going to have a huge impact. And it's also just going to change people's lives, like the quality of their lives as mm-hmm. well, I think, mm-hmm. especially energy is a big one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I agree, Africa has an abundance of all of these natural resources. It's just a question of tapping into them and having courageous people like yourselves taking on that challenge of harnessing what we already have and making it an innovative, commercially viable product. And then, you know, Africa to the world in a way to speak. So I'm really, really happy that you guys took time to share your story, to share your challenges. Is there any challenge that you guys are currently facing that you want to put out there for anyone listening that could lend a hand, lend a expertise or advice or anything that can reach out to you guys?
One thing I can think of right off the bat that is, it's a pain. It's a serious pain.
Yeah.
Is order your consumables 9 months in advance because they're always late and the delay is everything in the lab.
Yes. Yes, I can speak to that. I worked in the recent past as a sales representative. So we do, you know, in between the manufacturers, mostly globally based companies and the end users like yourselves. And the supply chain process in Africa, that needs attention, urgent attention. It's getting better, I must say, but it's, I agree with you. That is something that, I don't know, whoever is listening, who can take on that problem and fix it. It will be a game changer because there are a lot of things. I was also attending a talk the other day where one very respectable professor who's doing great work at UCT also mentioned supply chain as a major bottleneck in development in Africa. So yeah, thank you so much for mentioning that. And I think that's a problem that all entrepreneurs, especially bio entrepreneurs, because our supply chain needs certain care. You know, there's temperature, there's proteins that need to be shipped in a certain condition and so many things. And another thing I'm going to just put out there is, I know some people who are already doing something about that, is to start companies that produce those raw ingredients right here in the continent to also shorten that supply chain. I'll be talking to one of them in one of these episodes. Thank you so much, Jean. Thank you so much, Leah, for joining in this episode of the Africa Biotech Conversations. And on that note, I want to wish all of you happy entrepreneurship. I hope the next time we talk, we'll be talking about you guys on another level. All the best with your venture.